Hey everybody, this is Adam of the Dollar Bin. I'd like to welcome you to the Steve Niles discussion on creator-owned comics. There's been a lot going on the internet lately, talking about creator-owned comics. I don't know why it's just coming up now. Hell, creator-owned comics have been around for years, and I've been enjoying them. I know we on the Dollar Bin talk a lot about creator-owned stuff. We might not specifically call it creator-owned, but we definitely support it, and we talk about it. You know, it was asked of me to go ahead and try to put together this interview with Steve, who has been pretty vocal about it on the Twitter, as well as his blog at steveniles.com. Enjoy this discussion. It's something that's very dear and close to my heart. Also, don't forget to vote for the 2010 Dollar Bin Awards. It's at www.thedollarbin.net/vote. Also, there's a link on our website, a vote link up in the top right-hand corner. So go ahead and do that. We're going to be having the Dollar Bin voting show recording, not this weekend, but next weekend. So make sure you get your votes in before then. And, you know, what better way to help promote the books that you love than telling other people about it? And a great way to tell other people about it is to vote in the Dollar Bin Awards. Okay, enjoy the interview. I had fun doing it, and I hope you have fun listening. I'm calling Steve Niles. Let's see if he answers. It's not raining. Oh, there it is. Should play it cool.
Hello?
Hello, Steve?
You want to talk about this creator-owned stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because I live in a cave intentionally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just, that was part of the reason I got this whole thing started. I've been basically beaten down into, you know, hiding, you know, even on the internet. You know, because everything's so negative everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
How's it? People keep telling me that it's like really kind of spreading around and stuff, and there's kind of a little good natured attitude spreading. Is that true at all?
Like, honestly, I haven't really been following it too much either. A lot of people have been asking me when I was going to do a show, and they're like, "Hey, you know Steve Niles? Why don't you see if you can throw something together with him?" So I know it's been on the Twitter. And by the way, as I mentioned just a minute ago, that was the voice of Steve Niles that you just heard.
Oh, okay. Was that your big host intro?
Sure.
Great. I forgot this was Dollar Bin.
Yeah. Hey, this is Adam of the Dollar Bin, and we're here with Steve Niles. From talking to some guys and reading, and I know the big discussion is this discussion on creator-owned comics is what I keep hearing people say, creator-owned comics. Have you talked to Steve about creator-owned comics? What exactly are we talking about here? What is the big story? Because some people they don't read the blogs, they don't read the Twitters, so they come to us for the source of their news. So what are we talking about here?
You're their news source? Oh, good Lord! Yeah, I hope you send them like links to CNN or something. Well, basically, with creator owned, all we're really talking about, first of all, to define creator owned, because the first thing out of gate people ask is just any book that anybody owns any piece of. You know, so that's everything from, as far as I know, Icon and Vertigo to books at Image. I think, you know, Image is one of the few places where creators maintain, you know, 100% of their rights. But, you know, I have a partnership now going on a decade with IDW where we split rights in various ways, actually different over just about every project. Mm-hmm. But the point is, if you own, it's books that are owned by, you know, at least some portion by the creator. Mike Mignola being one of my favorites. He's the perfect kind of guy I like to point at for what you can do with creator-owned, because he's actually created a character, made his own living off of it, and now is actually providing jobs to other creators, you know, like Guy Davis and Duncan Fegredo and various writers and, you know, all these people. You know, he's built a world and an industry, a little mini industry all its own. And I just think we need more of that, because comics are fading. We're dropping at the sales are dropping at such an unbelievable rate. We're now at sink or swim time. And for me, my entire background is creator owned. Marvel and DC didn't invite me over, you know, until after 30 Days of Night had happened. And, you know, and I've had a great ongoing relationship with DC, but I've always made my, you know, main living off of creator owned. And right now, because of what's happening, comic sales are decreasing, pressure on retailers to, you know, buy only what they know for they can sell 100%. A lot of publishers are starting to close the doors on creator-owned. In my opinion, we're going to lose a really vital part of comics. So I'm just doing a thing where I'm just encouraging people to try new ways to get, you know, get your books out there. It's really simple. I mean, it's just I don't want comics to die. You know, I love this industry and I love doing comic books, and I don't want creator owned to die. I don't want Marvel and DC to die. I want to, you know, I would like it all to thrive again, you know, like it used to.
A big misunderstanding is that you are pressuring for creator owned and the dismissal of licensed and, I guess, Marvel, DC superhero titles and things like that. But that's not the case.
No. As a matter of fact, me and Powell actually, you know, had a conversation, me and Eric Howell, about this. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of creators. You know, I put out my blog and he put out his video, and we did it separately because we do have, you know, sort of a different take on things. I'm not thrilled about, you know, corporate, you know, life, but believe me, if I start going after corporations, the comic book entertainment corporations are kind of last on the list of corporations doing damage to people. Marvel and DC are vital. And I work, you know, I work for DC. I work for Warner Brothers. Disney paid me, you know, paid my rent, you know, last month. So I'd be a pretty big hypocritical jackass if I was coming out against them. My point is DC and Marvel have the superhero thing covered. It's really well covered. And what we have on our side with creator-owned is diversity. You can have books like Westerns or romances or, you know, or whatever. That's always been sort of, there's more slice of life stuff in creator-owned. It's just, that's where you find the more different material. And I just think it's really important that it not die, you know, and I think it's one of our few ways we're going to actually expand. Because there's, for every superhero movie out there, there's a creator-owned comic movie out there. Mm-hmm. And, God, you know, there is Hellboy, and there's also Road to Perdition and Ghost World. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Kick-Ass and things like this that people forget come from, you know, creator-owned properties.
Yeah, and then you also, I believe, on your blog, you mentioned Scott Pilgrim. And then also one that I think of is the Surrogates as well.
Well, yeah, I just saw the Surrogates. I'm like, why didn't this get more, you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie. I didn't see Scott Pilgrim, so I can't, you know, I can't speak for it, but I know my friends, you know, really like that movie. And that's just something I was talking about that I think is another really important thing, is that we are, you know, and Scott Pilgrim was, I just used to illustrate it, that we're all living in a really little bubble. And all the, you know, we're all about social networking within the bubble. We're doing all the, we go to comic conventions within the bubble. We're doing all these things where it appears we're really on the move, but all we're doing is moving this same size bubble around and trying to take a piece of the same size ever shrinking pie. Yeah. So I think it's really important that we figure out ways to reach outside and even really grassroots, just giving comics that you like to people who don't read comics.
Yeah.
You know, like I, you know, I have to do with you with horror movies. Clearly, I gotta, you know, get you a list of horror movies to check out. You know, because I know there's some out there you're gonna love. And the same thing for comic books. And just once and for all, yeah, I'm not anti Marvel or DC. Matter of fact, I got another DC gig this week, and I can't wait to talk about it. But I can't right now. You know, the things that scare me the most, I hear more and more people talking about direct distribution to fans,
yeah.
Meaning print to order. Digital going so straight from creator to fan.
Yeah.
No publisher, no retailer. God, I don't want to go that route. You know, I don't want to go that route at all. I think we need to figure out a way to make it all work for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, obviously publishers exist for a reason. I've met a lot of creators in the last few years, and publishers are there because creators are trying to think of the best way to describe kind of, they have trouble focusing sometimes, maybe?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I'm the worst businessman in the world.
Right.
Another reason why what I just said petrifies me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to deal with mail order and printing and distribution and bills and taxes and incorporate, you know, all the bullshit that goes into starting a company is why I appreciate IDW mm-hmm. and Dark Horse and Image so much, because they do all that stuff for me.
Yeah.
And believe me, I know how lucky I am to just be able to turn in a script and basically go through, you know, a basic process to get a comic out. It's a lot more work to self-publish. And I'm doing 2 self-publishing projects now, but I'm only doing really short, limited print runs. And mostly, really, I'm doing it for, you know, I'm going to do some mail order, but it's to have something at conventions to sell. I'm always watching artists. They always have new sketchbooks.
Yeah.
So I'm actually publishing books of short stories and things like that, you know, that will be exclusives for cons and stuff. And like I'm doing Lance Hendrickson's biography that we just announced with a bunch of illustrations by comic professionals. You know, again, trying to reach outside the bubble a little bit. Who knows? You know, maybe there's an Aliens fan out there who hasn't, you know, seen amazing comic art, and when they see the art in here, they'll want to see more of it. We've got to try everything right now.
When you look at your, and I don't want to get into the whole Steve Niles career thing, because we're hoping to do that in the near future. But, I mean, you obviously have been with many different publishers, independent publishers, you know, Marvel, DC. You've done projects across the board as far as, like, straight horror and Batman and, you know, Mystery Society, which is just kind of fun adventure, I guess.
Yeah.
You've obviously been all over the place there.
I know. I love trying all different kinds of stuff. I mean, and that's why I really hated when, you know, it's just this weird state of mind that if you're pro something, a lot of people assume you're anti something else. Did you see Eric Powell's video?
I didn't see the video because, like you said, he took it down. I read his what he posted afterwards.
Where Eric's coming from, you know, at the end of the day is just concern for people. Obviously turning creators into victims wasn't taken very well. But the video, you know, really kind of eclipsed, you know, what I was saying, and the messages wound up getting mixed. So I've been spending a lot of time just backing that up. And also, even this weekend, you know, there was a retailer summit, you know, and I'm talking to retailers and, you know, trying to, you know, and letting them know that as creators, we don't want to make any moves that will not include them, because they're a vital part of why we're all here.
Independent books and, you know, the numbers dropping pretty consistently over the years of comic sales has been around for a little while. I mean, what is it that's taken this into focus recently?
Just hearing that we dropped, I think, 5% one month and 11% the next, or, you know, some crazy numbers. I mean, it's a drop every month in numbers. And in the blog, I sort of put it in perspective, because I remember when I worked for Eclipse way back, you know, in the early 90s, books were canceled for selling 30,000. That wasn't enough. Now, you know, that's a dream for anybody.
Yeah.
The numbers we were moving then were just unbelievable. And, you know, at that time was the beginning of the direct market. So we had a lot more distributors, and we still had a lot of the carryover readers from the spinner rack market, the mass marketing of comics that, you know, was taken down, you know, and with words is where I grew up. I grew up in a world where basically comic books were everywhere. And just about every store I went in, every 7-Eleven, there was always a spinner rack of comic books. And those don't exist anymore because of the direct market. People have to go to a special store to buy comics. And I think we've really learned that they're not going easy, you know. And we know that people will go to a special store to buy video games for $60 a pop. So we need to figure out what we're doing wrong and how to appeal to these people. And, you know, it's also worth noting, this isn't just comic books.
Yeah.
This is all forms of print right now. This week coming up, Borders is applying for bankruptcy.
Right.
It's a problem across the board.
And I've heard a lot of people bring up the direct market argument as far as comic sales and one of the declines in comics. And for me, I grew up, I guess, on the edge of the direct market, like when it started. I remember there being spinner racks in like 7-Elevens and stuff like that. And I remember picking up comics in grocery stores. But I remember not really, really buying comics until they hit the direct market. I can see where not having comics in grocery stores and stuff kind of gets them out of the public's eye. But I've seen, like, the Toys R Us here has comics, and I've seen some of the bookstores that have comics, and they're just like a mangled mess of books from the last 6 months.
And yep. I know. It's not something I'm not saying we can go back to it. It's something we lost. It's so that's the one thing I think people are having the hardest time getting their head around, is that we might not be going to a system that we've gone to before. You know, there's a lot, I mean, obviously a lot of stuff about electronic and digital distribution and things like that. So I think we're just in for some change. I don't think comics will die completely,
yeah,
obviously, but it's just going to be tough right now. And right now it's the toughest for people doing creator owned.
Yeah.
You know what I think is so frustrating for people too, is like, superhero movies and the Marvel movies, DC movies are, you know, they're having such a success, you know, they're so successful.
Mm-hmm.
People, I think, are very frustrated that doesn't turn into, you know, that's not helping the market more. Yeah. But it's very difficult, you know, for anybody in the mainstream, say if they love Iron Man, to go into a store and get Iron Man. What do you hand them? If they come in and say, I love the Iron Man movie, what do you, I mean, I can think, I'm a total nerd, so, you know, I'm just like, the Warren Ellis run, Demon in a Bottle, you know, the original series, you know, Tales of Suspense. There's a lot of places, you know, you can tell people, but generally it's very confusing. While for me, with 30 Days a Night, say, when that movie came out, people went to a store, there's only one graphic novel that was based on the movie.
Yeah.
And we saw a direct bump from the movie to graphic novel sales. So, hope, you know, a little more of that would be good. You know, if people, there's just a lot of confusion out there. Even me with Marvel titles, I have a very hard time jumping in, and I love those books. Mm-hmm. And I'm always having trouble, you know, figuring out where things are, what's happening, what change, you know, because things change so rapidly.
Well, that's been a big argument on our show in the past has been when Dark Knight came out, Batman wasn't even in his own title.
Yep.
And that's kind of killer.
Well, believe me, and I think that every time a movie comes out, there's about a 5-second window of opportunity where, you know, we have the public's attention. And that was sort of a classic case of if they went to the comic store, we're like, I want to read Batman. Sorry, he's dead. You know, I did hear some stories about that happening. That was unfortunate, but, you know, who knows if that really had an effect on, you know, people would buy it.
And like what you said, I mean, even every Iron Man title that you just listed there, that's been out for years. So, I mean, if somebody comes to a comic shop and they say, I want to read Batman, there are numerous trades and collections that you can point them to. It's not like there were no Batman books on the shelf, you know?
Well, especially, yeah, I mean, exactly. And, you know, there's just tons of standalone graphic novels. It really puts a lot of pressure on the retailer to really know their stock to deal with this. And, you know, that's the thing. A lot of retailers, most retailers are fans too. When I worked comic, you know, retail, I loved it when people came in and asked me a question like that, you know, and was like, what's the best Batman to read? And, you know, I go bounding off to the shelves and come back with a stack of graphic novels.
Yeah. Well, one of the big things for me is like I mentioned earlier when we were talking, I don't really get into the horror movies that much yet. If I look at what I've been buying in comics the last year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, I'd say 80% of it is horror-based in some way. But,
yeah.
But for me, it's a medium difference. Like, I can get behind the comic book medium of horrors, the horror genre, but I just can't jump into the movie medium. And I see kind of the same thing. People are going to go to the movies, and they're going to watch Batman on the screen. That doesn't mean that they're going to want to go pick up a comic and read it, you know?
Well, it's the same thing as, you know... I don't know when L.A. Confidential came out, how many people went and started reading, you know, James Ellroy.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to hear those numbers, you know, if there is any effect. I know that with you know, movies like I Am Legend, mm-hmm. you know, they did re-release the novel yeah. and gave it a huge new push with, you know, with a Will Smith cover. And, mm-hmm. you know, I heard from Richard Matheson himself, that was the first time he had ever seen windows filled with his books. Yeah. So I don't know the sales on those books or anything like that, but at least on the surface, it looked like the movie helped book sales. But it doesn't seem to be happening with comics all the time. Very, you know, and, you know, a lot of it is this perception problem that we've always had with, you know, comics in America. The vast majority of the country still views it, you know, when you say comics, they think Peanuts or, you know, right. Archie or, you know, really kid stuff. They don't realize just how many different kinds of comics for how many different age groups there are.
You made a list of some things that creators can do, publishers can do, and you talked about what retailers can do and what we as fans can do. What are a few of those things that you were listing that we can do to help spread this?
Like I said, I don't have any big answers. You know, yeah. I really don't. I'm encouraging creators, you know, to look into more ways to do things themselves mm-hmm. as much for themselves as the publishers, because, you know, publishers right now are having trouble too, and they just can't take on all these projects. We need to find alternative ways to, you know, get material out there without putting a strain on our publishers. This happens to me all the time where, you know, I have IDW and Dark Horse that I work with mainly, mm-hmm. but now I'm going to start doing some stuff at Image because, you know, frankly, I just dump too much stuff on them sometimes. And they need to spread it out because it's a mystery society is just a tougher sell.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to concentrate on it. I think the main thing that we can all do right now, I'm asking creators to be a little more cooperative with each other. you know, simple things like on Twitter where we're all following each other and, you know, we all have varying degrees of mainstream followers. A very simple thing like hitting the retweet button if you see a fellow creator post something about their new books can go a long way. You never know who that's going to land in front of. And what does that take? 2 seconds to hit a button, if that? So, you know, really little things like that, you know, as well as, like I said, a better attitude, I think, goes a really long way right now. You know, we could show a lot more support for each other. And from creators, you know, supporting each other to fans, I think can really help out by just being more enthusiastic about the things they love and less enthusiastic about the things they hate.
Yeah.
You know, I know the internet has given us all an opportunity to tear the shit out of everything. But, you know, when I grew up, you know, with music and comic books, never once did somebody walk up to me and hand me a stack of comics and say, check these out. They really suck. You know, and that's sort of the attitude on the internet.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, for myself, I'm going to take a route of if I don't like something, the you know, I can make the strongest statement by not buying it and not talking about it. And I just think it's a better way to go. I'm not saying there's not room for good criticism. I wrote about it. I love constructive criticism. But I'm talking about people absolutely losing their minds on the internet because a character is being killed or the costume's changing or whatever. You know, people will just get in these giant arguments over.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just not productive. And I just think if we all had a more positive attitude, we could just help ourselves. That's all.
I think having a positive attitude, especially when talking about books, like you said, like it puts a, you know, not a spin, but, you know, a positive take on the industry. Whereas when people go and they read nothing but flame wars or negative comments and stuff, it just makes the like industry as a whole just look like a bunch of like whiny crybabies.
Are you going to walk into a restaurant where there's a brawl going on?
Exactly.
No. No, you're going to go to the one where people are sitting and being nice because, you know, who wants to get hit with a bar stool while you're eating,
right.
You know, and that's sort of the prevailing attitude in comics. And it's a genre thing, too. It's just, you know, it's on the films. I mean, the film sites are Christ, you know, I won't even go near those things, you know, as far as, you know, that's just my rule. If I go to any site, I never scroll down below, you know, beneath the article. I've been doing that for years. And that seems like such a shame. Because, you know, you should be able to, you know, look down at the comments without it. I mean, if I want to be bummed out by how angry and awful people can be, I'll read the comments on Yahoo News. I know a few people are getting a little frustrated with that. I'm saying the same thing over and over again. But, you know, another way I'm trying to support what I said is I'm doing a weekly column.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the first one appeared at CBR with Robot 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just doing, it's called Creator Owned Spotlight. This last week I did Mike Mignola because, mm-hmm. like I said, I just think he's, you know, he's one of the greatest examples of what can be done with Creator Owned. And then focused on Joshua Fialkoff because I love his Tumor, especially that, you know, came out recently. And then I featured a web comic called The Loneliest Astronaut that Ming Doyle does the art for. My hope, I mean, I think it's really obvious what I'm doing, but I'm hoping that, if I feature successful creators with, you know, medium creators and this, you know, up and coming creators, you know, maybe we'll expose some people to some new stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what I try to do, and I can't buy the comics as much as I used to, but I try to, and my shop owner knows this, so he orders some things that he'll try, but Every week, I try to pick up at least one or two books that look interesting that I almost know nothing about.
So yeah.
From usually IDW, Image, and you know, some other God, who knows? There's some publishers that show up I've never even heard of, other than this one book I buy. But I try at least every week.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, and I always have. I mean, you know, it's always, you know, well, like I said, I'm a fan, so I'm, you know, some art attracts me usually. Yeah. You know, will drag me in and, you know, from there. But yeah, I would really, you know, I'd say the same thing to, you know, I know people who just read DC.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Just go peek at Marvel. If you love DC, you might like something at Marvel and vice versa. There's this very, you know, people very scared of change, trying new things.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, the fact is there's amazing comics, you know, coming from every company, from creator owned, from licensing. You know, if you like the art, if you like the stories, there's all kinds of amazing stuff happening out there. And if people aren't interested in comics, fine. But, you know, I think we got to find out, because I just can't believe we would go from selling millions of copies to 100,000 in such a short period of time without it being a marketing. You know, there's something we're doing wrong and that we need to change up, because it just doesn't reflect how the rest of the world feels about comics. Yeah. And I just, I don't know. You know, I think we'll get back up.
Do you think that trade paperbacks and stuff like that has contributed? Because I know a lot of people that don't buy issues anymore because they just wait for the trade.
I don't know. We're selling the trades, yeah. So we're selling something.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's another thing that I'm hearing people talk about. Doing floppies, the individual issues, digital, mm-hmm. and then printing the trades. I kind of like that, but I don't know where that'll go. You know, I'm curious to see if something is put out in one way digitally and then another way printed, what will the sales be like?
Yeah.
And what will not be able to sell those floppies due to publishers and retailers? Because there's good and bad about the floppies for both.
Yeah.
You know, retailers risk being stuck with massive quantities of back issues they can't sell. Yeah. And can't return. And they'll start ordering, you know, less of stuff. And then, you know, the publishers are stuck with the low numbers. And it's just this, you know, horrible domino effect.
Yeah, I know that a lot of smaller publishers, and especially with Diamond's recent increase in minimum orders, a lot of smaller publishers, they're not doing the floppies anymore. They're doing strictly trade, because if they want to get something out there, that's really the only way they can do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, because you can't risk people being able to find all four issues.
Yeah.
I know what that's like. I mean, even, you know, I have wildly fluctuating numbers, you know, on books. I mean, just the difference between the two new, you know, I've had Mystery Society, Edge of Doom, and Doc Macabre are the latest things.
Yeah.
Completely different numbers on all books. I don't know why. I wish I did.
And all those are IDW, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all IDW.
Edge of Doom is creepy as shit, by the way.
Thanks. I'm really enjoying that. You know, it's just, I admit, because anthology is such a bad word in comics.
Yeah.
I just wanted to come up with a way to do shorter stories. So doing single issue stories that you'll see, I guess 4 and 5 still need to come out, but you'll see they do all wind up becoming interconnecting at the very end. So, you know, we'll see where that, but basically I come up with this thing. And I think, you know, me and Kelly are going to pursue this more. I'm not really sure where we're going to do it yet, but we've been having a lot of fun and, you know, we've been getting probably the best reviews we've gotten in a long time, you know, on that. And every review says, you know, why didn't I know this was out? Oh my God, there's nothing, you know, you just don't want to hear that as a creator. Yeah, I want to do more stuff like that. It's been really fun, really experimental, and I'm glad people are responding to it. It's just basically me and Kelly doing a sort of twisted version of the Twilight Zone,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Short stories, which I grew up reading short stories, and there's not very many places for them. And, I'm also, you know, as a result of the blog, basically now doing a book with Scott Morse, because we realized, like, you know, we can sit here because we're both workaholics who are glued to our computers all the time. We're doing it the old, we love the pre-hero monster books, you know, like Jack Kirby and Stan Lee did, and, you know, Ditko and all those. And so we're doing a thing where I'm writing him like a paragraph. And then he's doing a comic, and then I'm scripting, and I'm writing prose, and I'm sending him prose, and it's just this back and forth sort of on the side, having fun, and we're building this book called Crime and Terror, and it's coming together really nice.
Awesome.
So, and actually, I think we may even have a couple possible publishers for it now, so there's some, you know, there's good news.
Yeah.
Two creators who, you know, we've known each other for years, always wanted to work together, and then we just kind of realized, it's like, well, Let's just do it. Let's just use a little of our free time, work on this, and then see if we can find a home for it. And it's a little different than the usual, you know, which you go out pitch, you try to get the job, and then they hire you and you write a script. It's a different process.
You had mentioned some things that publishers can do, and one of the things that I noticed, you had mentioned also that people saw Edge of Doom and said, wow, why didn't I know this was out? One of the things that, especially IDW, Image does it, Vertigo, a lot of books, you're starting to see the either previews of other books in the back or pages and pages of the last few pages are advertisements for other related IDW books and things like that.
Yeah, just trying to spread the word, you know, again, sort of within the bubble, but, you know, IDW does, you know, a lot of licensing stuff, and I know there are people who just read Angel comics
yeah.
or Buffy comics,
mm-hmm.
That's it. They just read the licensing stuff. So maybe putting those ads in the back will lead them, because, God, if you like Buffy, you know, there's a lot of other stuff out there you might like.
Yeah.
You know, for right now, it's a great plan. It's one of the things I'm talking about with creators, doing ad swaps in different books from different companies. I think that was the funniest thing comment that came out of my initial blog was somebody, and of course in all caps, but why would you help your competition? I was like, thank you for nailing the problem. I'm not competing with anybody. This isn't a race.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to beat down another creator, climb over him so I can get to the top of the hill. I've never looked at life that way or comics that way. Probably why I'm not rich, but I just don't look at life that way. And I just think we need to support each other to help, you know, help out. I'm just not competitive when it comes to creative things. That seems so crazy to me.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Comics, you know, comics are an art. And
so?
Don't compete. Art doesn't compete, right?
It's the same thing as like, and I'll never, somehow it works with movies. Like, I don't mind the Academy Awards and, you know, I understand how it works and you got to pick a best. But it's always boggled me with music, how they give out awards for music. And I'm like, really? That's the best song? I'm really, that's the universally voted best song. I just like, it just doesn't work that way. You know, I never understood picking the best in the contest and who they were, you know, and get you into dangerous ground.
Yeah.
I think we need to support each other and show appreciation for each other and stuff. But I'm sorry, you know, if somebody's competing against me, they should know I'm not competing. They're racing against somebody who isn't paying attention.
Obviously, you've been in the industry for a few years. You've contributed quite a bit to it. And like you said, you still got plenty of, you got projects coming up.
I'm working on tons of stuff, you know, and that's all, it's just, I tell you, I'm having a hard time finding homes for creator-owned stuff. And it's because publishers can only take the, creator-owned is always a risk. Any comic is a risk, but creator-owned is, you know, is a big risk for them. I mean, you know, as I like to point out, 30 Days a Night, which is everybody views as my biggest success, only sold 4,000 copies of the first issue. It was a flop. Couldn't even break 5,000 on that thing. And that was when, you know, it wasn't hard to sell 5,000. So it was just horrible. People just got to keep trying, keep pushing forward, and be nicer. I'm so sick of seeing, this is the thing, this whole thing was triggered by Twitter fights.
Yeah.
You know, creators just bickering back and forth in public.
That's kind of why I stopped following a lot of creators on Twitter. And I've kind of stopped paying attention to Twitter in general because of a lot of that.
Yeah, I'm just, well, it was really funny, you know, because everybody started calling this a creator-owned revolution, which everybody calmed down, you know. You know, it doesn't have to be a revolution to make change.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did this thing, and one of the things I did in the blog was sort of drew a line in the sand for myself, saying, I'm not going to fight.
Yeah.
If somebody starts in on me, I'm just like, look, we disagree. You go your path and God bless you. I hope it works. I'm going to go this way and we'll see in 5 years, you know, who's still around.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to fight.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's a waste of energy. And what we were saying about the Twitter thing is a really powerful tool we have at our disposal is the delete and block button, you know? And I'm going to surround myself with positive, like-minded people who want to make change and put out comic books of all kinds. And at least if it doesn't work, I'll feel like I gave it a good try instead of looking back and going like, oh my God, you know, all we did was just panic and fight and it just got ugly.
Yeah.
And it's because people are afraid. People do terrible things when they're afraid. So I understand where it's coming from. I'm just choosing this path. And I've backed myself into a corner now. And if I get all pissy, somebody can just go, but you said be positive. And I'll be a hypocrite. So I got to be good.
Yeah. From my point in the comics industry, from my point of view, I guess I'm, you know, a commentator or whatever I happen to be. And so I feel like I have to argue a little. But on our forum, for instance, I will put in my piece 3 times. And if the person I'm arguing with still is going net, I stop. That's where I drew the line. I do 3 times and I'm out.
If I have a conversation with a fan at a table at a convention and it comes from a complaint or something like that, we work it out. You know, I tell them about what happened with the story or this and that and da 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 da, and it's resolved. On the internet, though, everybody's got to be right. Everybody's got to show how witty they are and clever and, you know, what their argument is. And it's a different kind of argument, one that nobody wins. Usually nobody wins. That's the most amazing part, is how many fights you see online that you see the creators or whoever go, we took it to email. Now we're good, you know, because they had to get out of that toxic arena to go settle it like two human beings. And why can't we be human beings online?
My opinion of, like I said, I stopped following a lot of people on Twitter and even paying attention to it. And I see a lot of that is, you know, this is Twitter. You're on a public forum. Why is this? Oh God, why are you even having this conversation?
I know. Snarky whining all day. I mean, you know, it's just like there's just some people who are negative. They're negative. They're unhappy. I don't know. I don't want to judge. And I don't want to do that. But I also don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, if all you've got to say is snarky things about movies, snarky things about American comics, snarky things about, you know, Marvel and DC, you know, just going after it. And it's just like this, especially on Twitter, it's just this scroll of whining, you know. I just don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
It's a shitty thing to wake up to and look at or during your work day. I want to try to figure out a way to turn this really great thing into a positive, into a positive thing. You know, we're finally have a way for fans and creators and retailers and everybody to interact. And what do? We start throwing chairs at each other. It's unbelievable. So that's kind of it, you know. Yeah. I know there's a lot of creators out there who kind of think I'm full of shit and, you know, whatever. But this is the way I've just chosen to go, because the other way leads to a fucking stroke, frankly, you know. And I just don't want it. You know, it's not worth it to me because I really love what I do.
So you said that you're getting a lot of submissions for your indie comic spotlight.
So great. I know. People are being really cool. Yeah, my webmail, by the way, I'll plug that, steve@stevenyles.com, is just filled with people showing me what they're doing, talking about what they're doing, ideas about, you know, how they're trying to sell stuff. It's just there's a great open dialogue going. And, you know, some of it's great. Some of it isn't. Some of it you see potential in. Some of it isn't. I'm not putting myself in a position where I'm going to judge this stuff. You know, I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to do my best through the column to put as much of it out there for people to see, to judge for themselves.
Yeah.
And if me doing that can help anybody, even a little, if Josh sold one more damn copy of Tumor because of, you know, because of that column, then I feel like maybe I've done something that I've helped. That's all I want to do. And I hope, my thinking is if more people do this, I'll be a bunch of hippies, but we'll be getting stuff done.
I can't argue with that.
I know. You know me. You know how hilarious it is that it's me doing this? I'm a pretty sarcastic asshole. You know, a lot of the time, and I'm having a little attitude adjustment myself, but it's just I want to see how it works, and so far it's working. I said it in the first blog, it was like I just want to try a different way for a while, and right now the response has been great enough that I want to continue it.
What's the future hold for this movement?
You know, I'm just going to go one day at a time and see what happens. I'm always hesitant to get into anything that's a movement or flag waving or emblems or armbands or, you know, whatever the hell. I'm hoping that it can just be a slight little attitude change and help out. And really what I hope the future holds is more comic readers.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I am so tired, and this has been happening for like 20 years, handing a comic to somebody outside the industry and them going, I didn't know they made comics like this. I know we feel like, oh my God, you know, it's all we do. We're pushing it. It's out there. And, you know, the people are getting everything served to them on a silver platter these days.
Yeah.
Any movie, anything they want, any time of day, music, anything. And we have to figure out a way to get comics in their hands. They're clearly not going to drive to a comic store. A lot of retailers tell me, because I, you know, when I was doing that tour, had a lot of reality checks doing that tour. You know, one of them was I would go in a store and I wouldn't necessarily see anything but 30 Days on the shelf. And, you know, I'd say something about, I've written a few hundred other books, you know, and generally they were saying, well, they really rely on the pre-order for people who read my stuff.
Yeah.
So that really, really means I need to have contact with my readers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this is the case for a lot of people because they can't afford to order even 5 copies to put on the shelves. They can only do it through their subscriptions.
Yeah.
So there's another way people can help. Pre-order the books you like. Don't just rely on them going in every Wednesday and picking from the selection that's on the shelf, because there's a whole bunch of comics that came out that day that weren't ordered.
I have a subscription at my shop, but I'm so terrible at subscribing to books before they come out. Like, if, like, Edge of Doom comes out, I tend to subscribe to it when I see number one, and I'm like, oh, yeah, put that on my list. I'm really terrible at saying, hey, Edge of Doom is about to come out. Can you add that to my list? That's a new book I want.
Yeah, well, apparently a lot of people are really bad at it.
I'm really bad at that.
No, bad at it, too. It doesn't help that previews looks like the yellow pages, It's a lot of stuff to pick through, and comics are like $3-4. Me, I'm such, I get distracted by all the stupid statues and toys. You know, I mean, there's so much to buy with so much less money. I know it's really hard, but that's something I would, it'd be great if there was, I think somebody suggested this the other day, that there would just be a free version of previews available.
You have to buy that outside
the comic market. That is a giant catalog of cool crap that the general public doesn't know exists. And I don't know if merch, movies, trading cards, comic books, magazines. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in there that people just rely on kind of wandering into stores and finding.
Bizarre. I mean, if nothing else, Marvel puts out a lot of their Marvel previews whenever they do like one of their big changes and all the upcoming books. They put those for free at comic shops. But I mean, again, you're going free at comic shops. How hard is it to take that and make it free at a grocery store or a toy store?
It's just try it or online.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to print it. Put it online. Get it to, somehow on Amazon. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the solutions are, but there seems to be some, interesting stuff. Now, the guys at Diamond seem to be, they seem to know what they're doing. They've been around for a while. I don't know why, this isn't happening.
I see comics as a community. One of the reasons we always did I started the podcast and started doing it originally was because I wanted to help promote that community. And I've always seen it that way. I've never really seen it as competition. I know one day I would like to own my own comic shop or something like that. And the one thing that worries me is that I don't see it as a competition. And I know there will be competing shops around me. But I just don't. I don't want it to be a competition. I want everybody to help promote and enjoy it.
Comic shops in LA are really good example of that. I know 3 retailers here that have good, strong business. They each have their own identity and each kind of serves a slightly different area of interest. And they've done a really good job of honing in their clientele. And they're, by the way, they're all within 10 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a level of competition there. I'm not fooling myself. But at the same time, each of these that I'm thinking of in LA are standing on their own 2 feet. And in all 3 cases, they are stores that are really in touch with their clientele. I mean, that's what's really great is, one of the comic stores I go to, I can walk in there and go, is there anything, I come in, I'm lucky if I get in there once a month, and they'll go, I can go, is there anything I'll be interested in?
Yeah.
And they know me well enough that they actually point out new stuff that I would otherwise not even know about that does appeal to me, because I've been going there 12 years. that's really huge too. So, having a retailer like you, who's a knowledgeable fan, I think you can find a niche.
Well, that's like Sean and I were in Portland a few weeks ago up in Oregon. And, there's 3 shops right there in the heart of Portland. And we were at Cosmic Monkey, and the guy ringing us up was like, hey, by looking at the stuff you guys are buying, you guys probably really want to go check out this other shop. I mean, he promoted, that was awesome. I love that.
That's like Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah. Remember?
All right. I'm sorry, I brought up a black. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, I don't know. I bring up black and white movies with anybody under 30, and they stare at me like I'm a lunatic. So,
I prefer the black and white much more than the remake.
Oh, they did remake that, didn't they? See, I just blocked that stuff out. You know, but I just hope that it's the essential, simple message is coming through. It's so easy to be cynical. It's so easy, and just like give it a year of just trying to be positive and not fighting with everybody or being jealous or insecure about other creators or whatever it is. Just let's try to help each other across the board, retailers, fans, creators, publishers, everybody.
What is your Robot 6 article called?
Creator Owned Spotlight.
Well, I'm all for, making the industry positive. And like I said, it's a community, and I think we should treat it like a community and not a cutthroat business. Well, it was just fun talking to you, Steve.
I know. Well, we need to reach out every once in a while. I'll be at Heroes.
Yeah.
Still my favorite con in the world. Talk about, if we could just have more of what goes on at Heroes in comics. I mean, it's a really great atmosphere there, and it's all about comic books. That's why it's one of my favorite cons.
Absolutely.
I'll be seeing you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just fair to throw a plug in for Shelton there, because Shelton's always so great.
Yeah, I just did an interview. I just posted an interview with Shelton last week about talking about that big Savannah collection that he bought.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I did a one-hour interview with him that I posted. It was pretty cool.
How insane a collection was it?
That collection is completely insane. The very first, because it's up on Heritage Auction, it's a Pedigree collection. It's the first in years. He's got Showcase 1 through, he's got all the Showcases. He's got Showcase 3, he's got Showcase 22. Right now, it's up on Heritage's site. And Showcase 22 is up to, I think, $7,000 already.
Jeez.
And I think just the first page alone that he has listed on that Heritage site is, I think, totals around $30,000 that it's going for so far. And he's got 30,000 comics in that collection.
That is amazing.
And it's all it's all CGC. Most of it's getting CGC rated. It's all 8.0s and above. He's got some of the books he has are the highest rated they've ever been.
That's unbelievable.
It's all the Showcases. He's got Brave and the Bold 1 on, Showcase 1 on.
Oh.
It's insane.
Oh. That must just be fun to dig around. God, I can't even imagine how much fun that is.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks. And I don't know if next month or something, if you want to do an interview about you, about Steve.
People aren't sick of me after this, sure.
Getting to know Steve.
Yeah, getting to know me personally.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And they can see what a prick I really am.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Adam again. Obviously, what you just listened to, because you just listened to it, so you already know what it is, was a discussion about creator-owned comics. It's a thing that's been going around on the internet for a bit, last few weeks. And I just wanted to kind of wrap this up in saying that, I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to it, and people that listen to the show know that I am a supporter of creator-owned comics. I'm a supporter of a lot of comics, mini comics, as well as more mainstream stuff. And I definitely got thinking a lot more from this discussion about, what I can do to help promote creator-owned comics. Because like Steve said, everybody's taking a real big chance on this. And there's a lot of good stuff out there that a lot of people just don't know about. And maybe you don't know to try it. And what I would do, and like I said, every week I try to at least pick up one book from Image, IDW, one of those guys, just to at least see if I like it. I'm not going to just pick up something that doesn't look appealing to me. I will flip through it. But I like to pick up at least one thing and give it a shot. I'm not going to say that you have to do the same thing, but I would like to see some more of that out there. And if you guys can, maybe do a help out a little, and every week, at least give it a shot, see what you can do. Try to pick up a creator-owned comic next time you go to the shop. And, I'm going to put up a little section on our website pretty soon. There's always a section on the forum where we talk about what it is that we've been buying and what we've been reading. I don't know. It's not a challenge. I quest everybody out there you're listening to, next time you run out to the comic shop, pick up a creator-owned comic that you may not normally have given a shot. Tell everybody about it. But like Steve said, we don't want to be an industry of people complaining. So my recommendation, and one of the things that we try to do on the Dollar Bin, believe it or not, is we try to only write reviews when we want to help promote something. Go ahead, pick those books up, give them a shot, and let everybody else know about the book. Because, we're all in this together. We all enjoy reading comics, and I don't think any of us want to see them go away. Go ahead, pick up creator-owned stuff, one a week if you can. Give it a shot, and tell the world about it. And tell us about it on the Dollar Bin. And also, Don't forget to vote on the Dollar Bin Awards, www.thedollarbin.net/vote. It's open voting, so you can fill in whoever you want. Creator-owned, mainstream, doesn't matter. Indie guys, doesn't matter. Help promote the people you love. That's what the Dollar Bin Awards is about, and that's what the Dollar Bin is about, and that should be what comics is about. Thank you guys for listening, and next week, interview with Mike Carey.